Okay, good morning, everybody. It's really good to be here, even though I'm here every week, but it's especially good to be here to share what God has put on my heart. It's been brewing for a few months. It's been a privilege to have been asked to kind of step across. I've been kids worker here since for over 7 years, and as you know, Stuart Douglas was our youth coordinator, and when he left, I was asked to step into a role that was brand new as kids and youth coordinator. And as soon as I stepped over and took that step of faith, because it wasn't just kind of straightforward. God had been doing stuff in my heart for months, and I didn't know what it was. I was just saying, right, I'm just following your lead, God. And then when I got asked to step into this role, I was like, that's what you're doing. And maybe some of you are kind of in a season like that. You're like, not sure what you're doing, God, but I'm trusting you. And yeah, I just kept trusting. And then when I got asked, I was like, oh, this makes sense now. And as soon as I kind of took that step of faith and said yes to God, well, he's been downloading some of his heart and his vision for this community, for this city, for this island, for kids and young people. And I'm really excited to share what that is. This kind of badge, this brand, this is kind of sells our vision just in two letters. And it's WM, a Will of Field movement, that we want to start a movement of kids and young people. A movement is a group of people who want something to change, or they want to change something. Well, we want to change this world for God's glory, but we can only do it together as we move together. And I'm excited about sharing how that's going to look over the next months, the next years. And we're just going to trust God that he's going to do what he has promised. And we're going to hold him to his word. Let's start a Will of Field movement. A movement of kids and young people. And there's all different colors of the logo. I'm excited to see how that looks. We want to let the young people and the kids express themselves as well. But God gave me this very clear picture at New Wine. You've heard some of the adventures with the bat and the bees. And there was all sorts of stuff going. But we faced it all together. But I had this picture as I sat in one of the seminars in Sligo. And this picture of that there's a tide rising. There's a tide rising and it's culture, and it wants to wash away the kids and young people from our churches. It wants to take them, and the enemy wants them for himself. He wants to take the plans that God has for them. And I feel like maybe church over the years, we've said we're going to strengthen our shoulders, okay? But next generations, I want you to stay there and you watch how strong we are and you wait your turn. And I felt God press in my heart that actually, as leaders, we need to be strengthening our shoulders, not to show people how strong we are, but so that the next generations can stand on our shoulders, and then the next generation stand on their shoulders, that we do this together. Church is meant to be family. And maybe for years, maybe we've got it wrong. The church, maybe the brand has been scarred a bit, but this new brand that we want to start is something different, and it's a God movement. It's about him. It's not about us. I'm strengthening my shoulders so this next generation coming through can stand on them. And I'm going to plant my feet firm on the word of God. I want to be immovable for them, not just for my walk. This is not about me reaching my potential. I want to serve these next generations so they can reach theirs. And part of that is, well, it's hard to lead people that you're not willing to. You know, places where you're not willing to go yourself. I went on quite a lot of adventures over the summer, and one of them was me, Luke, and Jack, my cousin, decided to climb Ben Nevis, the tallest peak in Britain, and boy, was it a challenge. It's a lot different than doing Cave Hill. And there was this kind of sense as we went up that it got really hard. I'd had 1 hour sleep, and I'd driven 4.5 hours up from Kernran up to Ben Nevis. I forget where it is, in the Highlands somewhere. And I was really tired, but the adrenaline was carrying me so far, but we got weary. And I knew that the guys were struggling, and I thought, right, I'm going to go on and reach the summit so that I can show them that it's possible, and then I'm going to come back down for them, and I'm going to drag them up. As soon as I got to the top, I messaged them, because Luke had stayed with Jack. We didn't want to abandon him. He bought a stick when we stopped in Scotland somewhere, and he was just walking up with a stick. He was loving life. Well, except when it got really sore. But I came back down for them, and we went up together. I sent Luke on the summit, and we all made it. as a three, and boy, was it a hard day, but it is an experience I will never forget. And one of the things that drives me, one of the things that fuels me is this quote. It says, be who you needed when you were younger. Because, yeah, it wasn't easy growing up, and I didn't become a Christian until I was 18, and I wish someone had told me about Jesus when I was younger. But I didn't have that experience. I didn't grow up in church. I needed someone to come out from these four walls of church to tell me that Jesus loves me and that he died for me. So I have set it as my mission to be who I needed when I was younger. So as God has started on my heart to start going up mountains, because I've learned so much about leadership, about God, about facing things together, well, we've started bringing kids and young people up mountains. And we tried a couple of times doing Sleeved Honored, and then at the start of the summer, I had this wee idea. I thought, well, what if we get the bus to drop us off at the Bloody Bridge, and we say, well, if we want ice cream, if we want picked up by the bus, we're going to have to get over the mountain because it's picking us up at the Sleeved Honored car park. And you know what? It worked. We got everybody up. This was a group of leaders, of kids, of young people, and we did it together. The young people were dragging up the kids. They were holding their bags for them. The leaders, well, they were struggling as well. So the kids were going down and helping the leaders up as well, because Charlene was struggling with a wee bit of vertigo, weren't you? Was it? That's the right thing. And the kids were dragging her up. This wasn't just about us leading the kids or the young people. It was about going together. And it was such an amazing experience. And then the day after that, we brought up the even younger kids up Cave Hill because, yeah, we don't all climb the same mountains and face the same challenges, but we can teach them how to fight those battles when they're young. And as they get older, strengthen them even more, that they stand on our shoulders, that we put our arm around the next generation and say, here, this is what God has done in my life. This is what he can do in your life. This is a beautiful picture of Anna Lennox, putting her arm around a couple of girls and just loving them. And this is a picture of what God wants church to be. And this is what he's put on my heart. A Willowfield movement. Because I love this quote. And this is one of the things that really inspired this movement thing. It was, we're not waiting on a move of God. We are a move of God. If we just stay in the four walls and wait, well, it's not going to come, because we need to know that we are a move of God, that God has filled us, and he wants us to go out from this place, and he wants us to go out together. One of the things that we've put in place is a theme for this year that we want to just ravel in all the stuff that we do, and the year theme is truth, then dare. That every month we're going to focus on a truth about God, and then we're going to dare to live it out that month. And we're going to feed back to each other, what has God been doing? And I'm really excited to see what that is. And this month is, Jesus died for you, dare to live for him. That actually right at the start, we can say afresh to God, God, my life is yours. I surrender to you, and I'm going to dare to live it for you. One of the ways that we want to also help that is, well, this is, people say OMG all the time. They take the Lord's name in vain, but we want to change that, and we want to share what God has done in our life. So we've come up with this thing, OMT, and it stands for 1 minute testimony. And so we want people to learn to give their testimony. Kids, young people, leaders, share your faith in a minute, because you never know when God will prompt you to just share your story. People will be like, well, tell us about God. Well, do you have a minute? Yeah, because I've been practicing. We're going to do a 1 minute testimony. So I'm going to do a drink, take a wee drink here, and then I'm going to try my testimony in a minute. I haven't practiced this because I just thought I would see how it goes. Here's a wee drink. Okay, the timer is up. Are you ready? Are you ready, boys and girls? Here we go. My story in a minute. So, growing up, I grew up in a loving family. My early years were very loving. My mom and dad were married. And when I was six, my parents divorced. And things got a wee bit hectic there after that. But it was when I got to secondary school, I got into Grosvenor. And my mom took six. She developed something called bipolar, which meant life got a bit chaotic. I was in and out of care the whole way through secondary school. And because of that, I struggled with belonging. I struggled with trusting that people loved me. And I really struggled with that, actually, because my mom, because of her illness, had tried to commit suicide 3 times. I'd found her twice and really thought, well, why, God? If there is a God and he has a plan for me, why? When I was 18, I walked into church and I met Jesus and he changed my life. He turned me from an insecure lad who didn't believe in love to someone who knows that he's loved, who isn't maybe confident in himself, but he's confident in his God that he has plans to prosper me and not to harm me, and I'm going to give my life for his purposes. And there's a minute.
Yes.
And we want anybody who's up for taking part in that. We're going to do it for social media. We're just share your story in a minute and we'll get it out there and we'll see how God uses it. Because there's so much power in social media and it's being used in such a negative way by so many groups. Well, the church needs to have a voice. We need to do something about that. And we need to get the story of Jesus out there and how he's changed our lives. New Wine was incredible for me because it was just like God was staring this picture and he was showing it. And right in front of our eyes, he was doing amazing things. Because when the bat thing was happening, when the bees thing was happening, I thought, this is going to be a nightmare. But God had a plan. He was saying, you're family and you will go through this together. Whatever you face, you can do it because you are together. We sat on the 11th of July and we thought, let's all get together as a group and let's pray for back home. Because it's possible the troubles might happen. Some of the girls were worried about what might happen. So we thought, well, let's pray about it. Before we did that, though, we shared about what God had been doing and what we wanted him to do that week. And then we prayed. And the young people, they were the ones that were scared to pray. The kids, they just went for it. And that started something where actually we were sharpening each other. Because the next day, the young people all prayed. And by the end of the week, the prayers were becoming so mature, but it was because the kids had stepped out. It's not just about the older generations blessing the younger generations. It's about us doing it together and inspiring each other. Iron sharpens iron. And we did, even during New Wine, we did a mountain slash hill, and we did it together. I had Reuben on my back, and that was interesting as well, but we went for it, and we all got up to the top, and here's Reuben, our new youth worker. We got a good selfie. He's got really good teeth for being at the front of the selfie, doesn't he? But it was that we did it together. But one of the amazing things was seeing how God was stirring our young people into leadership. Here's a picture of me and Jody and Holly. And I have known these guys since they were this age. When I first started Willowfield, this was them. But this year, they did lifeguard summer scheme with us. They were at New Wine. They helped us during Kids Club summer scheme. And then they were at camp. And God has been doing so much in their lives. And I want to see that keep happening with all the kids that are coming through, that actually they take on the leadership. So how does this look? How does it look to start a movement? How is the kids and youth programs going to look? Well, we have 3 E's for the programs that we run. Okay, so there's educational programs, evangelistic programs, so things that are outreach as well, and then we have encounter programs where we just want to provide environments where our kids and young people can encounter God, and not just them, but our leaders as well. So, for example, educational would be a homework club. We're starting a brand new homework club for secondary school age. We'll probably not call it homework club. Maybe youth drop-in or something cool, I don't know. Lifeguards is about learning to look after your heart emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And then our brand new Leaders in Training program that we're launching, and it's called LIT, it's L-I-T, Leaders in Training, and it's launching this week. And you'll hear a wee bit more about that. Evangelistic programs, so Kids Club, Active Youth, Little Lambs, people kind of maybe just push mums and tots to the back, but actually it's such a tool that God can use for evangelism, that actually we get alongside parents and we start that journey with the young kids, that actually they are part of the movement as well. And then we're involved in so many schools and God is opening so many doors. Encounter then, Unleash, which is our kids' encounter room. And last night we launched our brand new Breakthrough, which is youth worship rooms. And It was a beautiful time in God's presence where we just handed it over. And Natalie led it amazingly from the front. She just listened to God and listened to what he wanted to say. And I didn't want to have to go home, but then I realized I was preaching four times today and I should probably look over it. But God was really moving. And kids and youth church, we want that to be every Sunday where we encounter God and he is doing stuff. And we share about what he's doing in school, in our school, with this truth then there thing. So that was breakthrough. We have leaders in training as well, and that's kicking off this week. We want to start a movement. So just to finish, and just how can we as a church, what should the church that is nurturing this movement look like? And God gave me this word, and you're probably thinking, okay, where's he going with this? It was the word flip, and I was like, God, what do you mean by that? Because it's kind of the Christian, can be the Christian swear word, oh, flip. But it wasn't that. It wasn't about that. I remember God, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. This is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And my 1 minute testimony is how God flipped my life upside down. And we want to trust that God will do that so much. And he has been over the summer. And I can't wait for you to hear more of the stories. But F for the Father's heart, that if we're going to nurture this movement, all of us need to know our identity and need to understand the Father's heart towards us. If we want to see communities change, it must start with people discovering who they truly are in Christ and learning how to represent this new life in broken communities. I've been reading a book called City Changers this week, and God has been stirring so much, and just hearing the story of Alan Platt and the churches that he's been planting all over the world. And Romans 5:8 helps us understand the Father's heart. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, God showed his great love. And this is the first time I'd ever heard this last night, but we don't just need to understand the Father's heart, we need to ask him for his heart for the people that are around us. And I love this. It says, see the light in others and treat them as if that is all you see. What a beautiful picture of treating people how God sees them. See the light in others and treat them as if that is all you see. So the Father's heart, understand it, but asking him for that heart for other people. Then next one, I'm sure you might have guessed it, love. But there's four types of love that are mentioned in the Bible. And we need to trust God for this agape love. Agape love is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. It is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. With conditional love, we can just switch it off when we don't get our way. But God wants us to be people who there are no ifs or buts. That it's not, we love you if you conform to our way of thinking, or we love you but you can't join church until you sort yourself out. We need to love God, but we also need to love like God. We need to have that agape love. It can't be you belong if. It can't be you belong but. Here, what about this? We need to say you belong and that you are loved. And the only way we can do that is with this agape love. The gospel doesn't exist so people can join church and become like us. It exists so they can join and become like Jesus. The church is his, not ours. Do you believe in behavior modification or heart transformation? And we don't want to just say you should behave like this to be a Christian. We want to introduce people to Jesus and then let God do the transformation. And one of the things that Alan Platt was talking about was the difference between concern or compassion. He says when Jesus fed the 5,000, there was a difference. Jesus had compassion. The disciples, well, they were just kind of concerned because it says in Matthew 14, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. The disciples were concerned, but they didn't want to do something about it. Jesus said, we need to do something about it. He had compassion. They were concerned but not engaged. Concern does not take responsibility. Compassion does. Concern sends people away and hopes that someone else will address the problem. Compassion rolls up its sleeves and gets involved. Compassion starts making a difference. And it was kind of really late last night. I went on Twitter, and then God kind of showed me this. It was by Bob Goff. He says, "When I say I don't have time, what I really lack is compassion. People own watches. Love owns time." And the verses are up here to remind us all the time, and it's going to be very much part of what we do with kids and young people. It's Micah 6:8. "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Nearly there. Father's heart, love, and then being intentional. We're called to be agents of change, not chance. We don't just open the Bible and, when things get hard and put our finger on a verse, because that's just leaving things to chance. We're people who consistently read the word, get to know our God, and then when we struggle, we can draw on what he's already doing in our lives. It's an overflow. We don't leave it to chance. We're agents of change, because your life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. Father's heart, love, being intentional. And the last one is potential, knowing that we are all filled with potential, from youngest to the oldest. And like the angel appeared to Gideon and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." It was like, "Mighty hero, I'm kind of hiding at the minute in a wine press." The angel was speaking over Gideon, his potential. And we need to stop just speaking over the mess that people are in and start speaking their potential. But also know that we have, and we're full of potential. And our kids and young people, well, they are too. So let's nurture it. Let's call it out of them. Let's draw it out of them and push them to be the best versions of them. Ephesians 3:20-21. You just know it so well. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." But the last wee thing was, well, it wasn't just Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, my life got flipped, turned upside down. It's also, if someone says to you they can do a backflip, I'm the kind of person who's like, okay, prove it, right? Go for it. And yes, I believe that God has put this on my heart. We believe as a team that God has been putting it on our heart. But we're going to hold God to it. And we want to say, right, God, you've promised it. Well, prove it. We're holding you to your word. We want to see you move. We're giving it over to you. So it's time to do that flip. Jesus died for you. This year, would you dare to live for him? Let's start a movement. I'm going to invite the band to come up. And I want to read a verse that actually God gave me this morning. If we could all stand. Because it was in Romans 4. And he said, Paul was saying, we call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, "I set you up as a father of many peoples." Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, "You're going to have a big family." Let's trust God for a big church family. And it's not just about the kids and young people, it's about all of us. And we need to trust him, but dare to live this out. Let's just pray as we just commit this to God. God, thank you so much for each person here and how you want to tell them that they are loved, that they belong, no ifs or buts, that your heart for them is so good. You're a good, good father with good gifts, and you want to bless us. And even though you love the current versions of us, you want us to be the best versions of us. You're not finished with us. You're never finished with us. And thank you for these plans. And we pray that you would have your way. God, interrupt whatever we're doing so we can join in with what you're doing. And we commit this year, this new season, we commit our family, our community, our city, into your care and pray your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.